Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate very much, and I assume this is supposed to go all the way over, right?
Yes.
Okay. I appreciate very much the invitation to come and be with you today, and I hope that your week has been good and profitable. I have already been working with another congregation in the Vacation Bible School this week. They just happened to end theirs on Thursday, which I thought was very unusual, but it worked out well for me to be able to come and do this morning. I want to, first of all, turn your attention to the book of Colossians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 9 through verse 12, and then we're going to turn to an Old Testament passage in the book of Psalms. We're going to notice chapter 18. God's character covers a lot of spectrums of ideals. It goes anywhere from holiness to mercy to grace to the idea of protector, provider. You could talk about so many different things about Him being faithful, abundant in loving kindness, goodness, all those kinds of things. And some of which you've even talked about this week with creation and righteousness, grace, and salvation. Today we're going to talk about another ideal of that, and that's His strength. I don't want to ask you a question, and this is for you to answer. And I'm not going to go any further until you answer this question. Where or what do you believe, or why do you believe, we, as God's children, need strength? And we need God's strength. I'm sorry?
We can't do it on our own.
We cannot do it on our own? Okay. All right. Okay.
Great enemy Satan is stronger than we are.
Right. Very much so. Strength to endure all the way to the end. All right. When you consider why it is that you come to worship service, if I were to ask all of you that question, I'm sure that I might get a lot of different answers. It may be anything from you appreciate the opportunity to praise God and glorify God. It could even go to the point where you know that in this place and where you come together, you receive strength by being together with other Christians. I have known people who would come into the doors of the building and they would be so upset or frustrated about something, or feel so down, so depressed about some issue that they've encountered before they got here, that by the time they finished through the worship service, they were so glad, in their statement to me, they were so glad they came. Because they felt so much better when they left than they did when they first came. Which presents to me the idea that there's a sense of strength by which people receive by being together where they worship God. But for the most part, when you consider the percentages, the time in which we come together to worship God, where we believe this is where we're going to gain our strength, and being out here in the world, the percentage by which we're here is very, very small compared to where we are out in the world and at home. The idea of strength is something that we're going to need desperately when we're dealing with situations of life, because we're dealing with temptations that are so strong. Challenges that we face every single day that are outside the walls of this building. We're dealing with situations where we need strength to have the time that we need to serve our God, where sometimes there's so many distractions in this world that take us away from that. We need strength because in our marriages, we need it because there's so many marriages that are turning out divorced. Somewhere between 40 to 50% of them now. Used to be all 50, used to be one out of every two, but now the percentages are a little bit less. And there's a lot of factors involved in that. But we need strength to deal with marriages. We need strength in the midst of a family when we're trying to raise children, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we need strength in a lot of different aspects of life that are outside the walls of this building. But coming together here, no doubt we're going to receive the strength that we need, and there's no reason why we shouldn't come together not only to praise God, but receive the strength that we need to go out and to face the world. But I want you to think about something in Colossians chapter 1 with me this morning, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to verse 12, where it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray and make requests for you, that ye may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to the might of His glory, unto all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks unto the Father, who made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." I could go around and ask you, why are you here this morning? I would hope and pray that one of the answers you would give me would be, you're here to receive some strength. Well, who's going to give you that strength? I think your first answer would be God, but how's that going to happen? In verse 11, we are to, in verse 10, walk worthy of the Lord. And walking worthy of the Lord is more than just saying, okay, I need what I need to go to worship God. Walking worthy of the Lord is more than just saying, I'm coming to come together in the public worship. I'm going to teach a class. I'm going to memorize a few verses for my class. Walking worthy of the Lord is more than just doing those kinds of things. Walking worthy of the Lord is, in verse 11, strengthened with all power according to the might of His glory, and to all patience and long-suffering with joy. We are the people who need to be strengthened with all power according to the might of His glory. That should be one of the reasons why you're here this morning, to receive the strength that you need from God to handle all the challenges that you face and all the issues that go on in your life and all the choices that you have to make, no matter how old you may be, no matter how young you may be, and no matter what circumstances may be in your life. Sometimes I think when we deal with this idea of strength, we seem to think that maybe we have the ability to do this. But this passage eliminates one thing right off the bat. It eliminates willpower. It eliminates this mind over matter power. It eliminates this motivational speaker power that some people seem to think that they receive just because somebody stands up in front of them and delivers some great oration about positive thinking. Strength is something that I hear a lot of people seem to acquire. They somewhere along the way, some people have seemed to have accommodated themselves with the power and the might of God by saying, in front of a lot of people, there's someone out here who is suffering from stomach cancer. And I know they're out here. And I know they're dealing with some pain and hurt and problems and difficulties. And they're going through chemotherapy and they're going through radiation. I know they're out here. As if to say they've acquired some great power and strength of God to recognize that in somebody else's life. And they look at an audience and say, I know there's somebody out here who has glaucoma. And they need God's strength. They need God's healing. And I'm here to tell you who you are and what it is you need from God. There are some folks that have gone to that point of thinking they have that power that God has. They have that strength that God has. Well, that's that other extreme. That's one extreme. Then there's another extreme that we were faced with last week. A man comes up to my wife when we were at camp last week and tells my wife, he says, I want you to go get my daughter's cell phone, who will not give that phone to me. I want you to go through all of her stuff and I want you to get that cell phone because she won't give it to me. That is not my wife's responsibility. That is his responsibility, because that's his child and he should have the strength that God has given him through the Word to go get that phone from his child. So that's the other extreme people have. They just don't have the strength that God has given them and that they can acquire from God to do what it is they're supposed to do. So you've got two different extremes out here. People seem to think they've got a lot of strength. They know more as much as God. And then there's the other side that some people just kind of let loose their responsibilities. Well, in verse 11 of 1 Colossians chapter 1, he says, strengthened with all power according to the mind of his glory, and to all patience and long-suffering with joy. This is the strength that God gives you to do what it is you're supposed to do. God And the strength that he provides is something every Christian needs in his life, her life, in marriage, in a home, in a job, in teaching, even when they handle disease, and even with their faith. It is true, as Matthew chapter 19, verse 26 said, after Jesus had talked to this man about his riches, and he went away in sorrow, it is true, as Matthew chapter 19, verse 26 says, all things with man are impossible. But he says in the same verse, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Strength is in the Lord. It's just like Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, the armor of God we can acquire because it's the power and the might of God. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And He has the ability, and He has given us the ability to do what it is we need to do. Those of us that are older ought to know that. Those of us that are older should have already acquired that. But it's amazing to me how all these young people, these that are much, much younger than us, state that in a song they sing. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you. Sometimes they've acquired that, and they know how strong God is. I remember a time when my son was, I don't know, he might have been 4 or 5 years old, but there was this big storm that came through town. Real severe storm. And he was concerned about what was going on and what we were going to have to do during this storm. But I remember so well the statement that he made about it. He said, God take care of us. God take care of us. He knew the strength that God could provide for us to go through the storm. There are a lot of storms in life that we go through with which we need a lot of strength. Well, how are we going to get this? What are we going to do? Well, let's go to Psalms chapter 18. This is what the psalmist says about strength that I want you to think with me this morning for the remaining time that we have together. There is this passage in the book of Psalms chapter 18 comes from a case in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 22 where David has petitioned God and asking God for deliverance through the hands of his enemies, some of which are Saul and some of which are Absalom in some cases in the book of 2 Samuel. But God he's asking God for strength to get through the times of these issues he's dealing with his enemies. One of the first things I want you to think about, there's three P's in association with what goes on with what David says. If God's going to be his strength, the first thing he's going to have to do is plan for God to be his strength. He's got to plan for that to be the case. In the first two verses of Psalms chapter 18, the word my is used at least 9 times. And it may depend on the version, but the word my is mentioned 9 times, which what that does, what that looks at to me is he personalizes God in his life with a very childlike humility and says, I depend upon God for everything I need. If I'm looking for protection, if I'm looking for deliverance, and I'm looking for refuge, I'm looking for salvation, whatever the case may be, he personalizes God in his life. There are times by which we are going to have to do the very same thing. If God is going to be our creation, our salvation, mercy, grace, and also righteousness and strength, we're going to have to personalize this. God's going to have to be this for us. He can be this for everybody else, but he's going to have to be this for me. Every ounce of strength that I have to do what I do has got to come from God. Donnie mentioned to me just before we walked in the walls of this building just a little while ago about being able to do well, and I said, it's going to be God's strength that's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. Well, when David looks at what goes on in his life, he needs God's strength to deal with these issues and deal with these challenges. But this is not the first time you've ever run into this. If you were to go back to the book of Exodus chapter 15, after the people of Israel had crossed the Red Sea by the strength and the power of God, it was stated in chapter 14 that Moses was to tell the people, watch the salvation of God. And they see the salvation of God because they're able to go through the Red Sea, cross over on dry ground. But watch what happens in chapter 15. In verse 1, when all the people get together and they sing about the praises of Jehovah, the first thing they say is in verse 2, Jehovah is my strength and my song. Jehovah is my strength and my song. I sing about Him because He strengthened me. He's allowed us with His power to cross over the Red Sea and get over here on dry ground. So for the people of Israel, they plan to let God be their strength through the rest of their journeys through the wilderness. Now for some, it didn't happen that way. And we know that story. But then there was a man in the book of Joshua. I want you to turn with me to Joshua chapter, I believe it's Joshua chapter 14. Here's a man who is 85 years old, and I really love this. A man who's 85 years old by the name of Caleb. We would say he's at the tail end of his lifespan. Well, notice what he says. He comes to Joshua and says, I'm supposed to receive a land, and he's going to receive the city of Hebron. But in verse 11 he says, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war and to go out and to come in. He had planned that God be his strength prior to this. And if you remember back in the book of Numbers, one of the instances that we remember is when he and Joshua went over and with the other 10 spies, looked out over the land, came back with a report and says, we can go over here and conquer this land. The rest of the other 10 spies did not, except for Joshua. He and Joshua stood together on this and said, we can do this. With God's strength, we can do this. It doesn't make a difference how big these people are. It doesn't make a difference how many there are. We can do this. The same God that he planned to be his strength then is the same God that's going to be his strength even in verse 11. Yes, yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. But here's a question I want to pose to you. If there's a case in your life, sickness, disease, whatever comes your way, whatever challenge and issue you face, will God be as strong to you then as He is today? Because you will say verbally to yourself, or to other people, God is the one that keeps me where I'm at, and He's the one that strengthens me in what I'm doing. Will God be that then as He is today? He was for Caleb. Would He be for you? Another instance in the book of Psalms chapter 46 and verse 1. God is our present help and strength in time of trouble. That's what the psalmist says also about planning to have God as his strength. God is the strength for him and his help when he needs him, and therefore he's always there in trouble. Even in the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk chapter 3, this is a very interesting situation where the word strength is used, and when he talks about God being his strength, there's a situation where Habakkuk prophesies about what is going to happen to the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. After he prophesies about what's going to happen to the Chaldeans, notice what he says in the very last two verses of the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 11. He says, Jehovah, the Lord, is my strength. Now, for the Chaldeans, what would you suppose was their strength? Worldliness, possessions, riches, power, might of men, all those kinds of things. God's going to bring all that down. As the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 25 to verse 31 talks about, even the strength of man is not as strong as God's weakness. God is stronger than we are in every aspect. And the Chaldeans were going to experience that. So what Habakkuk does is recognize and understand all of the things that all of us should see. God is his strength. Now, I want you to look at with me something else. Habakkuk plans to have God as his strength in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 reminds me of a case where there was a lady that lived across the street from us when we were living in Kingston Springs when I was preaching there, who had cancer. She was dealing with this cancer in view of the strength that God gave her. And here's what she did. She put on her bathroom mirror 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, which says, "He says unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." See what he does? He, or she, I should say, posted that little verse on her bathroom mirror as to say, this is the strength that I need to get me through the day. And this is what I'm going to need. I'm going to need what God provides for me. His grace, while my weakness comes over my body, she says, this is the power that will make me what I need to be. And so again, I suggest to you that God's strength is what every single one of us need. No matter what the issue, no matter what the challenge, no matter what the circumstance. If you're given responsibility, the only way you're going to be able to carry it out is with the strength of God. So you've got to plan. You've got to plan to let God be your strength. Every single one of these examples that we've talked about, from the case with Caleb to the people of Israel in Exodus chapter 15, to the case with the psalmist in Psalms 46, to this situation with Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, all of them have personalized God to the point that He's going to be the one that they plan to use as the strength to deal with every situation in life. And that strength is the same strength that can help a drug addict stay clean. It is the same strength that a young man can have and needs to go to worship service, even though his mom and dad are very indifferent and want to sit at home and could care less about going to worship God. It's the same strength that a woman who's a Christian will need to have when she is in a marriage to an unbelieving husband and he cares less about Jesus. The same strength that these people have that we've illustrated already are the same strength that people have need in these cases, where it can turn a marriage from away from divorce to unity. It can turn a church away from division to unity, truth, and righteousness. The same strength that does that for these people can do that for people today. And you've got to plan it. Unless you plan it, it's not going to happen. Now, if you decide that you're not going to let God be your strength, and you just believe that you've got enough power and energy within you to handle all the things that come up in your life, I'll tell you what, you'll fail. You will fail. So number one, as the psalmist says in Psalms chapter 18, the first thing that we need to do, when we go back over there again, Psalms chapter 18, the first thing we need to do is plan to God, have God as our strength. The second thing is we need to, as a result of the plan that we have to have God as our strength, we need to praise God for the strength that He provides. Praise God for the strength that He provides. Besides the word strength, there are about seven other metaphors that are used in comparison as to who God is to the psalmist and the power that God has. And so let's just briefly go over those seven. First of all, the thing he says in verse 2 is, God is his rock. Jehovah is my rock. In other words, God is his stability. And I think that's a very significant point, because we are living in a world that is so shaky and so volatile. I heard on the radio yesterday about how volatile the market is. The crude oil's going down. Stock market's going crazy. All these kinds of things. Everything's kind of volatile. Everything's shaky. Nothing's very stable. Well, there's a one sure thing that's always strong, it's always stable, and that's God. Malachi, the third chapter, verse 6, I, Jehovah, change not. James chapter 1, verse 17, with God, there's no variableness, neither shadow cast of turning. God's always the same. The rock's always there. And if the rock's always there, it's always going to be there. It's always going to remain the same. That's something we ought to stand on or stand behind. We ought to be connected to that, because God is stable. And then he says, Jehovah is my fortress. When you think about the idea of fortress, we're talking about the idea of something that's going to provide for you safety or refuge, get you away from somebody or something. The six cities of refuge in the Old Testament were significant places. They were so-called, quote-unquote, places of safety to get away from somebody that might do them harm. God's that safe haven. God is the one that provides us. He's almost like that lofty mountain citadel where we can go to get away from something that's going to potentially harm us. And you and I know the greatest harm that we will face is from Satan. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says he's that roaring lion walking about, stalking about, seeking whom he may devour. We know that's what he has the potential to do. And there's no partiality with that. There's no age, demographic area in which he's going to be in. He's going to be everywhere. What we need to do is find the door to get into the place of refuge. We need to go through the gate to go through the city of refuge to get up to the fortress. And God's that one. God's the one that can provide that for us. I remember so well in the book of John chapter 10. When Jesus talked about himself being the shepherd, not only did he say, I am the shepherd, he also said, I am the door. So that if anyone go in, they will be protected from the elements outside. But while they will be protected from the elements outside, they will be provided on the inside. That's what God does. God's the place of safety, the place, the fortress. You go in, you'll be protected from the dangers, but you also be provided for on the inside with what it is you need to sustain you. Then there's this third thing he says in Psalms chapter 18, verse 2. He says, God is my deliverer. We might often think of that being a reference to a Savior. Somebody's going to take us away from something. By him saying that God is his deliverer is not to say that God is going to take him away from his responsibility. He's still got a lot of things to do. But it's saying that if I'm going to be rescued, if I'm going to be delivered from danger, then I need the strength of the deliverance that God gives. That's the only way it's going to happen. And we need this deliverance every single day. You know, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 talks about the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ, deliverance from sin, the power that God has over that sin comes about through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God's the only one that's got the strength to do that. You talk about how much people don't like to die. I wonder whether or not they really understand the strength that God has over the grave. That he saves people from the grave. God's got the strength to deliver those people. Just like he did the psalmist here in the book of Psalms chapter 18. And then we go on down a little bit further in verse 2. He says, God is my rock. Well, first of all, he just says, my God. When he says, my God, the word in the Hebrew language, the word of Jehovah is El, E-L. Which is just giving us a good taste of who God is. He is, and he is the only one. Do you remember the case when Moses was supposed to go to the people of Israel? And he says, well, who am I supposed to tell them is sent me? You remember what he said? I am that I am has sent you. I am that I am has sent you. And that's in essence what David is saying when he says, my God, he is in essence recognizing I am is the one who controls everything. He is the one who brings the sun up and lets the sun set. He's the one that lets the flowers come up out of the ground. He's the one that lets the winds blow. He's the one that brings about the fall and the spring and the summer and the winter. He brings about all these things. And my recognition of all that is this. If he can do that, and if I recognize him as the one that does that, then I'm going to let him control everything about my life he wants to control. In the way he wants to do it. In his time frame. Because his knowledge and his ways, his design, his purpose, his counsel, So much of that is so much better than mine. And I believe sometimes we have got to the point where we are so, I don't know, maybe educationally advanced. We have so many degrees and so much knowledge about the world that maybe we think we've got this ability to control things much better than God can. I don't care how many degrees you get. I don't care how well versed you are in finance, engineering, sciences, whatever the case may be. You or I will never come to the point of controlling things better than God does. And if I just realize that, and I bet you, if I just come to the point of accepting that, then I let Him do everything He wants to do for me and needs to do for me. And that's in essence what the psalmist says, my God. But then he comes up with another one. He says, God is my shield. In verse 2, he says, my shield. Some of your versions may use the word buckler instead of the word shield. I found it very interesting that the word shield is used at least 40 times, or the word buckler is used in the word in the Hebrew language. It's used 40 times in the Old Testament, but it's only used one time in the New Testament. Would anybody care to guess where that word shield is used?
Ephesians 6.
Ephesians 6 with a shield of faith. That's the only time. The shield of faith. A shield is something that, you know, according to what you would look at in our references most often in the book of Ephesians, is we're looking at a shield that is put between us and something that may cause us harm or danger. God is that shield. His divine providence has, in many cases, I would say in your life and as well as mine, has come between us and tragedy, or near tragedy, or harm from either a person or a thing or situation. It may be that we realize that. It may be that we didn't. But that shield is something God provides for us, in many cases, unknowing to us. And sometimes we do recognize it. And we say, well, God protected me. God provided for me. God saw to my needs, and God kept me from harm. Sometimes we recognize that, sometimes we don't. But God is that shield that comes in between us and something that may harm or hurt us, a person or a thing. But I think it's also important to think about when we talk about this idea of shield and God being the shield, it couldn't be that God uses somebody else. Somebody calls you a friend when you need them. God permits in some way, some kind of divine providence, some provided for your ride somewhere that you needed. Or a call that you needed. Or something. God provides for us what it is we need. That shield. Especially when Satan throws all these darts, shoots all these arrows, throws all these spears at us. God's protective shield is something we ought to trust in. One of the greatest ways that God helps shield us is through prayer. If you ever take time to pray, is there not this sense by which everything is taken away? As it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, all these cares and anxieties have left you, and now they're all at God's throne there with Him to take care of. There's a lot of people that are Christians that lack a very sufficient prayer life. But if they just use it, it would provide for them a shield that is so valuable. But there's one thing about a shield. You got to pick it up. You got to pick it up. You got to use it. You got to use it. But then there's this other one, number 6. God, He says, is my salvation, the horn of my salvation. Salvation in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, is considered the helmet of salvation. The word salvation is compared to in a lot of different ways. Helmet, in this case, it's the word horn, which is a symbol of strength and conquest. In the book of Psalms chapter 62, verse 2, salvation is compared to rock. In Psalms 18, verse 35, in this same chapter, salvation is compared to a shield. And even in Psalms 132, verse 16, salvation is compared to clothes. But in this case, salvation is compared to a horn of salvation. And David is saying God is the strength of his salvation. And he knows salvation is not possible without God. And one of the interesting things about this idea of horn of salvation and God being the strength in this regard is, remember a case in the book of Luke chapter 1, which was one of the longest chapters in the New Testament. In the book of Luke chapter 1, once Zacharias was able to name John as his son, was able to speak again, from about verse 67 through the end of the chapter, he begins to talk about not only John the Baptist, but he also begins to talk about Jesus. And in verse 69 of the book of Luke chapter 1, this is what Zacharias says about Jesus. He says, Jesus is the horn of salvation that God raised up. Which brings to my mind a little bit clearer some of the things that are going on in Psalms chapter 18, verse 2. If he says, God is the horn of my salvation, and if I make reference to Luke chapter 1, with Jesus being the horn of my salvation, God's raised him up as the one who is going to fight against the devil and especially provide for us through the resurrection of Jesus the power of salvation that all of us need. Interesting how that works. That God, through Jesus raising him up, provides for us the salvation that we need, that we cannot provide for ourselves. Just like Jeremiah 10:23 says, it's not a man that walks to direct his steps. We can't do this by ourselves and with ourselves. We cannot plan. We cannot design. We cannot devise some kind of format by which we're going to be saved apart from God. It's not going to work. One of the things I want you to think about regarding salvation. Salvation is not to be looked at solely as a way to escape hell and to get to heaven. Salvation that God provides and the strength that comes from that is something that ought to be looked at as a strength that we cannot provide ourselves. It is a strength that overcomes someone that we cannot overcome, and that's Satan. But it is a strength that is greater than the one that we cannot overcome. If that makes sense. The strength that God provides is stronger than what we can provide ourselves. And it is stronger than the devil's power over us. And I believe that's one of the reasons why people ought to be saved, because there's a power that God has over something they cannot get themselves over, and that's Satan. Not just so much the fact, oh, I don't want to go to hell and I want to go to heaven, but it's a power that's controlling them that only God can provide the strength for. Then there's this last one. In the book of Psalms, chapter 18, verse 2, he says, God is my high tower. God is that security. In the Old Testament cities, great towers were built so that men could get up on those towers and watch out over the land and see if there was anybody coming, especially the enemies. And when those soldiers would look down upon all their attackers, they could readily pull back the bow with the arrow and let them go and defeat the enemy sometimes. But they were in such a great position to see the attackers, they could first of all send out the first volley of arrows, but then they could also warn the city and let them know what was coming so that they could get up there and get prepared. Because in those towers, there was a great supply of ammunition. It supplied them with all they needed while they were up there in that tower. Soldiers in that high tower were always above the battle. They could always see what was going on. It was always a place of supply and security. And who is it that is our high tower? Who is it that's watching out over everything? Who is it that sees the attackers before they come? Who is it that watches everything and sees it before we see it? God does. And he supplies us with what it is we need. And while he's up there, in that high tower watching over us, his strength doing that gives us the warning and said, this is what's going to happen. This is coming. Could be the end of time. It could be if you don't get out of this, you're going to find yourself in worse circumstances. He always warns us about what's coming. And we can see the attacker before he comes. And we've always got the supply. We always have what we need. When the battle rages about us, we can run to him because he has the supply for us. And I think that's so important when you think about all that God's wisdom provides in that high tower. Much higher thoughts and ways than ours. So what we need to do is resign ourselves to the fact that we need to let him be our strength. Now, for what time I've got left this morning, I want to address something with you in my final point, and that's number three. For God to be your strength, you have to have him as your plan to be your strength. And as a result of that, if you plan for him to be your strength, then you're going to praise him for all the strength that he provides. But the third thing is, you're going to have to be the one in the process of all this, is you're going to have to pledge yourself to God. In verse 3 of Psalms 18, a psalm that we sometimes sing with young people, I will call upon the Lord. He says, I will call upon Jehovah who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord. After David's description of who God is, of all the things that he does, he calls upon God because he trusts him to be his what? His rock, his fortress, deliverer, his refuge, his shield, his salvation, his high tower. After all these descriptions, he says, this is why I pledge myself to walk by faith and not by sight. Because God is much stronger than I am. One of the things that I think you see here is that David's not necessarily running away from his enemies. Even though we see what's going on here, if you were to read back to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 22, this is his words of song in a day that Jehovah delivered him out of the hands of his enemies. He's not so much running away from his enemies as he's running to God. He's running to God for the help that he needs. Because God proves to be the greater one than his enemies in every single case. In every single case. He knows if God can do that, what he did yesterday, he can do it today. He also knows if God can do it today, he can do it tomorrow. That's how much he relies upon God and what God can do for him. That's how strong God is. That's what he believes about this God. And that's such a big lesson for all of us. And that we ought to resign ourselves to the fact that this God that David has is the same God that we could have. That can protect us, provide us, save us, be our rock in such an unstable situation in life, refresh us, help us. We just need to make God our strength. That's what we need to do. I want to let you think about a few observations here about this. Why it is that we need to pledge God that he be our strength? There are a lot of you that probably have either you've got a little Palm Pilot that has it, or you've got your own little notebook, and I don't have mine with me. I think it's out in the car. A daily planner or a calendar that has all the things that you've got planned on it about what you're going to do or what you have done, especially in the next few days, few weeks. When there's one man that has a calendar that he doesn't put all of his appointments on. He doesn't put all of the things he's going to do. Here's what he does. He records all the key activities of the day that have taken place. Because he gets up every morning and says, Lord, I go forth in your strength alone. Please use me as you wish. That's his prayer. Then wherever he goes about and accomplishes some difficult thing for God, It could be that he writes in his diary at the end of the day, today I was enabled to share my faith with a friend. Today, God enabled me to overcome my fear through faith. Today, I was enabled to help and encourage a troubled person. Today, I was enabled to discipline my child to learn respect for me and God. He used the word in the things that he wrote down in his diary, he used the word enabled every sentence he made. To recognize that God was the one that gave him the strength to do what he did that day. And that's exactly the kind of strength that we ought to rely constantly upon. That Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I have a pair, and some of you may have seen me use this illustration. I have a pair of soccer shoes that my son had when he was playing soccer in high school. On each shoe, he has a different verse written on those shoes. He didn't want those shoes anymore, but he was about to throw them away. And I knew what was written on them, and I said, I want those shoes. On one of those shoes was Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. On the other shoe was written Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. On those two shoes, especially Philippians 4:13, he realized that the strength of his ability to do what he did as a soccer player, and especially as a Christian, all came from God. And I treasure those shoes, and I'm going to hold on to those shoes because of that very thing. This man had his calendar, wrote on it every day of what God enabled him to do. God's strength enables us to do a lot of things we probably think would never be possible with us. I hear people that are Christians tell me, I don't think I'll ever be able to do that. I don't think I'll ever be able to do this. I don't think patience is going to be one of my things. I don't know if I'll ever be able to love this or do that. And I tell them, I say, yes, you can if you want to. But you won't be able to do it by yourself. You're only going to be able to do it by the strength of God. I tried to encourage a young man at Skyview just recently who is very, 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 very shy. And I could use a lot of other varies to go with that. He's very, very shy. He just doesn't want to get up in front of public. He has a hard enough time praying a prayer. You barely can hear what he's got to say. I went up to him not too long ago and I said, Chris, I said, hey, I want you to plan on working up an invitation to give on a Wednesday night. Immediately he says, I don't think I can do that. I can't do that. And he went through this whole spiel. I have a hard enough time praying a prayer, waiting on the Lord's table and all. And he gave me this whole list of things that all he could do, or he couldn't do, or he had barely had enough strength to do. And I said, Chris, I want you to know something. If you take something that is very important to you out of the Scriptures and you write it down, I said, you can present that and you can tell everybody else about it. You don't have to have it memorized. Read it to us. Tell us about it. Use it as an invitation. I just don't know if I can do it. I took speech classes when I was in high school and all those kind of things. I just don't know. I just wasn't able to do it. I don't know. I said, yes, you can. If God gives you the strength to do it, you can do it. But you've got to believe that God gives you the strength to do it. If you're just looking up on yourself, you're depending upon yourself, you'll never, ever get up there in front of anybody. You can do it one time. And who's to say you can't do it more than once? One man said, man is a weak and miserable animal until the light of God burns in his soul. But when that light burns, man becomes the most powerful being in the world. For when he acts, in him is no longer his strength, but it is the strength of God. And that's us. It is amazing to me that when you read through the New Testament and you read people like Peter and John in the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 13, where it says they recognize their boldness. And here's guys, they're fishermen. They stand with boldness in front of the council. You think, how in the world could these guys do that? Their education is not the greatest, and they really can't, you know, correspond and debate these guys, can they? Our weakness, when we are without God, is more than matched by the strength that we can have when we're with Him. These people, the Sanhedrin Council, they were no match for God's strength. If we can manage to avoid interfering with what God's plan for us is, like Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, that we need to let God's will and pleasure work through us. If we can manage to get out of God's way, wonderful things can be accomplished in us more so than we would ever think. And we can have this extraordinary strength that we look at other people and say, I don't see how in the world they do that. I don't believe I could do that. I just don't think I can handle that. God's strength makes that possible. But it's only possible because of our connection to God. If you listen to John chapter 15, verse 4, verse 5, it says, we should abide in the vine. Abide in me and I in you. And we can only be strong if we humbly acknowledge God's plan and God's design through the gospel and let what the gospel requires of us, let it happen. Let it happen. If we balk at it, if we kind of hesitate, we make all these excuses, then we're not going to meet what we need to be. And I hear a lot of people talk about how insufficient they are. And I guess one of our deepest fears is that we're insufficient. We worry about what we won't have or can have, or something's going to be truly in need and we're not going to have it. We fear the prospect that we're not going to have the daily necessities of life. Or we're not going to have the love that we need. We're not going to have the patience we need. We're not going to have the guidance we need. We're not going to have all these things we need, the appreciation and the thankfulness and the understanding we need. We're afraid we're not going to have all those things. We're afraid we're not going to be a good parent. We can't teach a lost soul. We can't teach a class. We're going to have these fits of rage. We're fearful of all those kinds of things. If it's true that we are created in the image of God, and I believe it is, if it is true that that's the case, then we are the most adequate people upon the face of the earth. And with God's strength, we can do what we need to do. And the principle that Paul had as an apostle said it so well in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5. Our sufficiency is in God. Our sufficiency is in God. And people who have problems with raising their children and their marriage and with the brethren, and indifference in worship and can't teach a class, it's all because they've weakened themselves. And they really haven't contacted, plugged in to the strength that God can provide for them. It is so important. It is so important that we understand that the strength that we have today comes from God. Here's the thing about that. If we do have it, and we have recognized it, and we have acknowledged it, and it has been our support through life, then like the end of Psalms 18 says in verse 49, he says, I will give thanks unto them, O Jehovah, among the nations. I will tell everybody else about it. He won't hesitate to tell everybody else about it. We'll tell everybody else what's going on in our life because of the strength that God gives us. May God give you and I the strength that God can give. May we plan to let God be our strength. May we praise Him for that strength, and may we pledge to Him, that we will let Him be that strength. That's my challenge I leave for you this morning. Thank you very much for your time today.